My name's Dave, by the way, Dave Spooner. I'm so grateful to be here. I serve as the, the lead pastor, I guess. And it is a privilege to be here. So grateful for you and so grateful for our crews getting up morning early this morning at 5:30 and getting out here to clean this place off. So grateful for them, our shovelers, all those people. Yeah, I would say thank you to them. All the phone calls that happen and people trying to get here and having extra effort to make it, and obviously some are unable to do so. Grateful for our worship team. Grateful for these decorations. Thank you for doing all of that. Lots to be grateful for. And by the way, yeah, if you notice, that's the skyline of Rockford back there. It's not just a generic one. And so bless Fred for cutting that out. And it's beautiful. And the stars shining. So if you've been paying attention, our theme for this Advent season is The Light Has Dawned. And each of these Advent messages are focusing in on Christ and the light of God breaking into our world. And so that's our theme. That's why we're starting with the lights low. That's why we're doing the Advent right in the beginning. That's why we're doing those things, so that we can remember the season, remember what Christ has done, remember what God has done for us and in us, and what he's going to do. So that's a beautiful thing. And this season, the Advent season, have you guys picked up one of these, by the way? Okay. I want to encourage everyone to do that. You say, well, I haven't got one, and you can continue to, you can pick it up and you can catch up. By the way, you know, I have to forgive the guy in the front here. Just kidding. I love that photo, and I love you, Lenny. Yeah, and so glad that we have folks that we can say, hey, part of our body. And what's great about this, my wife and I have been reading it every night. Man, number one, the things are really written well. I'm like, wow, look at us go. And thank you for our editors that help us, Michelle. I know she's probably worked really, really hard on that. What I've appreciated is hearing the stories of people from Crosspoint. So this isn't just the generic thing that we grabbed off the internet and put together. If you open it up, you'll see, you know, a title and then the person who wrote this thing. And so this is a good way to get to know people in our congregation. You're going to hear stories you probably haven't heard before. And it'll help you, and, you know, hopefully you'll grab a name tag. I didn't grab one today, but you say, oh, like Lenny wrote one. Lenny, tell me more about the struggle. Tell me what's going on. And you can connect with people when you come here or during the week, or send them a text if you have their information. And so, one, it helps us in knowing each other and understanding each other and connecting with each other. I'm getting a little feedback maybe, John. It could be where, is it me? Bring it up. Okay. You guys are like, you are so loud. We'll do that. Thanks, John. Are we a little better? Maybe.
I don't hear you.
Okay, great. Saying something. Ah, it's helpful for us to connect with each other. So read it, right? And then, it, you know, if you don't know someone, introduce yourself. Hey, I read your Advent devotional. You know, tell me more. Or I struggle with the same thing or what have you. So that really, really helps that way. Also helps in building your faith, knowing that other people have gone through similar struggles and that how they've gone through them, and all of these things really glorify the Lord. So again, you say, hey, well, I haven't picked it up yet. Just pick one up. You can start wherever. You can catch up. It's been a really, really good thing for us as a faith community. I know we prayed a lot today, and I'm going to pray again. Prayer, by the way, is really important. I'm writing right now, and I'm writing on prayer and preaching, so I'm spending a lot of time in that, and I am getting more and more convicted and convinced how important prayer is when we gather together. We see the apostles in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, they devoted themselves to two things, prayer and the preaching of the word. And throughout scripture, and I could talk for a long time, but we see how those interact. John chapter 15, Jesus said in this parable of the vine and the branches, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We read about the parable of the seed and the sower, where the word goes out and it lands on various soils, some of hard-heartedness and some with deep-rootedness. And the same word produces different results based upon the condition of those who hear. We need the Holy Spirit to work. It's good for us to encounter and interact with one another. That's one of the gifts of God. But we need to encounter and interact Christ and God and His Spirit. Amen. The prayer is that when we get together, we don't just hear an inspirational talk, that we don't just hear some things that might be interesting, that we actually engage and connect to the living God. Yes. Personally, corporately. And so we pray for that. We pray that God would open our hearts. We pray that we won't be distracted. Right? We pray that things like technology will work. We pray that the seed would go deep in our heart, that the enemy wouldn't steal it, or the cares of the world wouldn't, choke it out. That's the word. Thank you. We pray for these things. You don't need another talk. You don't need to hear more from Dave. You need to hear from the Lord, right? You need to interact with Him. We all got stuff going on in our lives. Right? Every person in this room, every person online has stuff going on. We're a mix of cares and concerns, sometimes worries and fears, anxieties. There is times of peace and gratitude and joyfulness and encouragement. We're pretty much a mix, but we carry all those things. And I don't know what's central on your heart today. The Lord does. Okay. And we're going to ask that the Lord would meet you in that, whatever it is. Right? And that we can meet each other in that too. Pray, to share, to encourage. These things matter. So I'm going to pray one more time for us in this time around the word. We've sung some amazing songs, right? Grateful for that. Grateful for our time of worship. It matters, right? But I'm going to ask that God would meet us again anew through His word today, perhaps familiar stories to most of us. Perhaps some of you have not heard these stories before, that God would connect. So let's just bow our heads one more time. So Father, here we are, Lord, gathered in this room. There's people I know are online right now and maybe on their cell phone or through a different device on their television, I don't know. God, we are desperate in need of Your Spirit working in our hearts, in our minds, in our circumstances. God, most of us today are really familiar with these passages because we circle back to them about this time every year. God, will You show us something that we need to see today? God, will You speak to each one of our hearts? God, will You go way beyond anything I can speak? And God, help me, Lord, help me to hear what You're saying and to speak what You're saying. Help us all to hear in this room. Keep us from distraction. God, keep us from the enemy. Help those who may stumble across this message, who knows, 10 years from now as it lives on the internet. God, I ask that You would continue to meet with us, that You would speak to us individually again, and as a connected corporate fellowship, a body here in this place. God, may we see You and hear You today. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Luke tells us that the first Christmas happened at night, he's not giving us a meaningless detail. He's actually making a theological point. Now, Scripture, if you pay attention, often uses night as a picture of the world without God or without God's rescue. A world that is filled with spiritual blindness, with brokenness, with sin in various forms, and fear. This is the very setting of Bethlehem and its fields, cold, quiet, dark. That place mirrors the spiritual landscape of humanity. And into this night, a light has dawned. Now, this light is not a spark from our own goodness. It's not the glow of positive thinking. It's not a flicker of human progress. This light is a light from outside us. A light we can't produce. The light we desperately need. In Luke 2, and we've heard about it, and if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to it. Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 18. And in front of you, there should be a Bible. It's on page 880. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 18. In this passage, God pulls back the curtain, so to speak, of heaven and shows us what Christmas truly is. The invasion of heaven into earth. Light dawning upon those who sit or sat in darkness. Now, if you know your Bible, this story is familiar to us. The Messiah was prophesied to come through ages and even from Adam and Eve in the beginning, that there would be one. A promise was given to a man called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and that there would be one who would redeem us. This promise again was given to a king in the Old Testament named David, that from him and his throne the Messiah would come, the everlasting God. The prophets in the Old Testament, from Isaiah to Jonah, talked about this one. Micah, a minor prophet, even said that the place he's going to be born is a place called Bethlehem. There was anticipation, there was longing, there was desire, and there was silence. And then, one day, an angel spoke. He spoke to a young girl, her name was Mary, right? Announcing to her that it was time. Now, Mary didn't live in a palace, right? She didn't live in the main city of Jerusalem. She didn't even live in a city. She lived in some podunk town in Nowheresville, Israel, probably even on the outside of town, place without a whole lot of light. And yet God announced to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will conceive and you'll bear a son. His name is to be called Jesus. His kingdom will never end. He is the very Son God. It's time. And Mary, this perhaps quiet country girl, rejoiced. We have a beautiful poem, a song of praise that's recorded in Scripture. We're going to talk about that next week. And then in circumstances beyond their control and God's sovereignty, Mary and her fiancé, Joseph, had to go to a town called Bethlehem. Imagine that. And there's no room for them, and so this child, the promised son, the Savior, the Messiah, wasn't born even in a proper house, but in a stable. Laid not in a nice crib, but in a manger. This is where we pick up our story this morning. I'm going to read some of these verses and we're going to take a look at them. Here we are, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, near this town of Bethlehem, near where this child was born. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Now this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And then suddenly, right, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Whew. This is the dawn of redeeming light. From this passage, I want to draw our attention to three truths that break through our darkness. These are the main points. God's light breaks in where we least expect. God's light reveals our Savior, not our strength. God's light produces peace where fear once reigned. So let's do this. God's light breaks in where we least expect. Now, if I were scripting the arrival of the Messiah, I wouldn't start with the shepherds. Shepherds, they weren't powerful. They weren't influential. They weren't affluent. They weren't even educated. They weren't at the center of society. Shepherds were rough, unimpressive, lower class men on the margins of society. I'm sure if they did little interviews with kids and said, what would you like to be if you, when you grow up? Probably zero kids would have picked a shepherd. Lonely, hard work, out in the middle of nowhere, sleeping under the stars and in the rain and dealing with difficult creatures. But this is who God showed his light to first. This is precisely who God chose. The light of his glory dawned first on those living on the outskirts, not in palaces or in places of note. His light first shone on nobodies, not nobility. Catch that. Why? Because God delights to bring his light to the places and people who need it most, who know they need it, and where it is most welcomed and needed. This, by the way, is the good news of Christmas. You don't need to qualify yourself for grace. Whew. Grace comes to you. To the exhausted parents, to the grieving and lonely heart, to sinners grieved by the weight of their own guilt, to the anxious soul who wonders if God has turned his face away. Christmas announces he breaks into your night. And sometimes our darkness is because of our own choices. Sometimes the darkness is because we live in a fallen and fragile world. Sometimes the darkness is because of suffering laid upon us from others. But if you know the Bible, the pattern of Scripture is clear. God's light seeks people sitting in darkness, not those who pretend the sun is already shining. The shepherds had no credentials, no merits, no resume, no worthiness, and yet the glory of the Lord shone around them. That's the gospel. The light breaks in where and sometimes when we least expect it. This gives us hope as we see the goodness of God shown in the face of Christ, who is the Savior. It brings us to the next point. God's light reveals our Savior, not our strength. Now notice the angel's announcement in verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Verse 11. A Savior, not a moral coach, not a political liberator, not an inspirational leader. A Savior. Why a Savior? Because our deepest problem isn't weakness. It's sin. The greatest enemy isn't the government. It's death. Our deepest need isn't better circumstances or more money. It's reconciliation with God. And the one given is Christ the Lord, the promised Messiah, the divine King himself. God didn't send an army. He could have, by the way. He did not send a motivational video. He didn't send $1 million to every person. He sent a Savior. This is what we need the most. He didn't even send an ambassador. He came in person. Just let that sink in to you. So what does this mean? Well, it means that Christianity is not a self-improvement program. It's a rescue. Salvation is not advice. It's deliverance. Jesus didn't come to tell you how to save yourself. He came to save you. So if Christmas tells us anything, it's that humanity can't climb up to God. God comes down to us. It helps. And we can't produce our own light. We live in darkness. And the dawn must shine on us from somewhere else. His light, God's light, is beyond us. It's above us to rescue us from the darkness. And the light that shines is the light of life. We read this in the Gospel of John, or John describes Jesus this way. He says, "In him was life. And the life was the," circle that, "light of mankind." Now the light shines in our darkness, in the darkness. And the darkness has not and cannot overcome it. Now, just down the road from this manger scene that often most of us have up somewhere in our homes were these terrified shepherds, right? They heard this announcement about this one born in a manger. And in that manger lies the one who will go to the cross. And the cloth that wraps this infant is a shadow or a foreshadow of the cloth that will wrap his lifeless body. In his birth, we see the beginnings of God's mission to redeem sinners. Like light breaks into the darkness, not by revealing how we fix ourselves, and we can say amen, right? This light reveals a Savior who will carry our sin, die in our place, raise in power, and give us eternal life. There's no one like Jesus. So during this Christmas season, right? During your life, resist the urge to think Christianity is mainly about being better. It's first about being rescued. God changing us, renewing us, giving us His Spirit, working in us and through us. We do not have the strength to rescue ourselves because we can't. We're the ones in darkness. We're the ones stuck in our own sin. We're the ones who need the rescue. Christmas is about Christ and His light shining in our darkness. We are the ones in whom the light has dawned to rescue us from sin and death. He is the one in whom we are to cry aloud, "Glory to God in the highest heaven," right? And peace on earth to those in whom His favor rests. Third point is this: God's light produces peace where fear once reigned. Now, the shepherds' response when the angels appeared to them was what? Fear. Terror. You would have responded the same way, right? Could you imagine sitting there or sleeping and hearing sheep in the background and all of a sudden a big light appears? They didn't have spotlights back then, by the way. They didn't have flashlights. They had candles and firelight. That's it. Super dark there. Like, super dark. They're vulnerable, right? Laying out in fields. There could be wolves. They could be lions. There could be all sorts of dangers. Bandits lurking. Vulnerable already. Not seeing very far already. And then suddenly. Scared them massively. Not only were they startled, perhaps they felt exposed. It's interesting to note when you read in Scripture, anytime God appears to someone, a prophet, in a dream or an experience or personally, the number one response is fear. The second response is, woe to me. I'm an unclean man with unclean lips. Isaiah. There's a falling on the face. Have mercy on me. And God lifts the person up, provides cleansing, which we call atonement. Ultimately pointing to Christ. Being in God's presence is wonderful, but it's also frightful. He draws us and invites us. But also, as we get closer to the light, it exposes us. He's holy, I'm not. He's glorious, I'm not. He's powerful, I'm not. But then comes the gospel. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that causes great joy for you and all people. This announcement, by the way, doesn't scold the shepherds. It conforms them. It confronts them. Why? Because the coming of Christ is not God's judgment breaking in. It's God's peace breaking in. And to that, a heavenly choir shows up. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. On whom His favor rests. Now, this is not church world language, right? Living in church world. No, it's not. It's an announcement to the whole world, everyone and every place and every time. It's a declaration to all people in all places that peace with God has come through Christ. True peace, by the way, isn't emotional calm. It's not circumstantial deliverance. It's not a motivational quote. It's not shallow positivity. True peace is a restored relationship with God, who made us, who redeems us, and who will remake all things. One of the beauties of Revelation talks about there will be no sun, because God Himself, Christ Himself, is our sun. I don't know how that's all going to work out, but I know it's going to be good. No more darkness, sin, fear. And we just get a taste of it now with the Holy Spirit who helps us and a God who promises to remake all things good. Amen. At Christmas and every season of the year, peace is rooted in the Son who took our sin. The Lamb who bore our judgment, and the King who reigns forever. This isn't peace that's someday to come. It's peace that can invade your darkness now. He is always with you, right? Even to the end of the age. You are never alone. Even though you may feel scared, even though you may feel lonely, even though you may feel discouraged, even though you may feel that no one hears, no one sees, no one cares. God sees, God hears, God cares, and He is with you. His promises do not fail. There's a peace that is beyond our circumstances. Peace knowing what will happen when you die, when you receive Christ as your Lord. It's guaranteed. Right? You don't, and you can't earn your way. It's grace received. Peace on those whom His favor dwells. It's receiving Him, beholding the light, acknowledging Him, being cleansed by Him. This is the light strong enough to steady any dark night of the soul. So how do we respond? Right. One, here are some suggestions to you. Come into the light. Right. Some perhaps have been around the light for a long time but never stepped into it. Some people grow up in church, perhaps even in this room or online. Think you're a Christian because you've grown up in a Christian country, per se. Or, well, I'm a Christian because I go to church. You're a Christian when God makes you new, when you believe in Christ, when you recognize that in you is not light but darkness, and that God's light enters you. When you commit yourself acknowledging that Jesus is Lord, He is your Savior but your Lord, and you commit to Him, to serve Him, to follow Him, to know Him, to live for Him. Your life then aligns up to your belief. God does this work through His grace when you receive it in knowledge. He is the Messiah. He is the Creator. He is the one that we are to give an account, and you commit to Him, not in your strength, but in your sinfulness. You hear me? Grace, grace, grace.
Some of us need to come into that light. Bring your darkness to Him. Confess your sin. Lay down your self-salvation strategies. Do you hear me? Receive His grace and let His mercy wash you clean. Second way we can respond is to carry the light. Okay. You see it, you carry it. Now notice this in the rest of the story here. The shepherds didn't keep the news to themselves. They told everyone. Right. Luke 15 to 18. I'm just going to read this here. When the angels had left them, these are the shepherds, they saw this, they heard it, stunning announcement. And they went back into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, time to go to town, boys. Right. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They heard it. I have to see it for myself. So they hurried off, right? Ran into town. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was indeed lying in a manger when they had seen him, tasted for themselves. Get this, right? They spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. This, by the way, is just the power of your testimony, by the way. If you know Christ, you do have a story. That's why we have relationships with people inside of the church, for sure, outside of the church, surely. Tell your story of what you've seen and heard. Right? So what I've heard, this is what I've experienced, this is what I've seen. Tell your story. If you're in Christ, you have a story. If you're coming to Christ, you have a story as well. Carry the light. When the light of Christ breaks in, it must go out. We have opportunity and responsibility and the great honor and privilege of speaking the message. Just your story about Christ and His work. In your home this Christmas, we all have, well, I don't know that for sure, most of us have family members who do not know the Lord. Right? Most of us are getting together with folks we don't see that often. Pray that God will give you opportunity. Second, step into it. Why do I say pray first? Because you'll know that it's not your doing, but it's God's. Okay. He's the one that has to work. You hear me? Pray. Don't, well, I wish it will happen. Are you praying about it? Pray this seriously. Then step in. Or stumble in. Just move forward. Okay. See what happens. It's a good challenge for some of you. Pray for your cranky coworker or neighbor or neighbors or yourself at times. I got to preach the gospel to me every day sometimes. I'm glad you're laughing. Carry the news. Okay. Third is this. Worship the one who came to us. Worship Him. When the angels exploded in praise, it's the right response, right? I can imagine they were just waiting to sing this song. Right? How long did they wait? Glory to God in the highest.
Christmas is the cosmic announcement that God keeps his promises. He saves his people. He reigns forever. So worship again with wonder what God has done, with gratitude, with reverence, with joy. Let Advent or Christmas season be more than anticipation or tradition. Let it be a kneeling at the manger in awe anew about the Savior who took on flesh to redeem us. We're going to sing a song to conclude the service, and I'm going to invite the worship folks to make their way. We're going to sing a song called Behold Him, which is the right song. And the prayer is, again, that we're just not singing words, that it comes from our hearts, right? So I hope you remember something from today. Hope God spoke to you something way beyond anything that I could say. What is it? The light has dawned in Bethlehem's fields on an ordinary day. Corrected, an ordinary night. God broke into the dark to announce salvation. Perhaps there's a darkness that you need God to break into today. Dark place, a dark situation, some fears, some anxieties. Pray, God, I need to see your light in this thing. In so doing, there'll be greater hope, a sense of peace. That doesn't mean the circumstances have changed. They might get worse. But God's goodness prevails in all circumstances and situations. So pray that way. My hope is that God would meet us wherever we are, if you're at home or in this room, that we would behold him anew. And you may want to take more time. The snow will wait. You may want to linger. You may want to say, hey, I need some time to pray. If you want prayer, I want to pray with you. There's people here every week. You can just come up here or just pray. Our elders will come forward. Friends will come. Maybe you need to linger a little longer just where you are and talk to God. Yep, we're going to go on to football games and snow shovels and the labors of the season. But take time in a sacred place to connect. We're going to pray one last time. Probably 30 seconds, and then we'll behold. So, Father, what great news that we have to share about. It's not a story that I could make up or people can make up. This is your story of your goodness, of your grace. God, indeed, do these things for us. Break in to the darkest of places. Settle also your children. Renew us so that we could behold you and what you've done for us yet again. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.